Hey, bro, how are you? Welcome to the podcast of Chris MB. In this moment, the invader today is Kellen. Kellen, I pronounce good your name, or what did you pronounce your name?
Now that is perfect.
Kellen, how are you? Nice to meet you. Welcome to the podcast. Please, for the public, you, what is your name? What did you make? Who is Kellen?
Sorry about that. There we go. So my name is Kaelin Strauss. I am a spiritual coach for people. I am an author, I'm a speaker, I host a YouTube channel. I also big into the idea of embodiment and pro sexuality and being everything that you are. So it's not uncommon to find me showing up in various states of undress or naked online. But I work with people around the world and helping them connect with their whole self, becoming an authentic, integrated, joyful version of themselves, and seeing that every part of life is welcomed on their spiritual journey. Every part of them is invited to be seen as de being divine.
Okay, Kenan, where are you from? Kenan, I'm from just a United States, I imagine, but where is you from exactly?
I live in Washington, D.C. right now. I grew up in Chicago and I've lived a few different places. I've lived in Maryland, Los Angeles, Florida, and now Washington, D.C.
So it's curious here. I think you maybe Kieran is Europe. I don't know. Imagine maybe German, British. I don't know, but because he's American, he's good. I don't know. You face most Europe. So Kieran, I'm from New Mexico. I hear your content is very good. I love you. Follow it. This is the moment you followed you. This is, oh my God, this is very, very, it's a guy special. But because you have two books and you are a spiritual kid, and I love your personality, very free, open mind. I don't know, it's very interesting to speak about you because how to explain. You have been the vibe where the people very sad or I don't know, it's the and they're lost in the mind. Just, what did you say? What did you hear in this moment when you see the videos on YouTube? I just discover you. Say, oh, okay. In this moment, all days, I say it. I watching the video of the killing. Maybe, vamos, maybe a little thing important on feelings and feeling in me very special. So, Kieran, where's a moment you decide and convert in the engaged spiritual? How start this in the content? No, I don't know this moment because I read in your biography. 15 years in this and bueno, this work in this and what do you explain? How do you start this?
Yeah, I always was a spiritual kid growing up. Like I always felt like I was having experiences that were beyond the norm. Some might call them mystical. But for me, I always wanted to deepen that understanding of my connection to the universe, my connection to the divine. And so while I was in college, I really started seeking. I tried to find different places, different teachers, different traditions who could give me answers to those questions. And that led me towards the path of yogic spirituality. I ended up taking a guru. I moved into an ashram or a community of meditators and spiritual seekers. I lived there for almost 7 years. And I really dove deeply into spiritual traditions coming from India and Tibet that really helped connect me with the more esoteric, the more mystical sides of spirituality and gave me a very tangible feeling of the divine. It made me aware of energy and connection and God and mantra and all these things in a powerful way. So I stayed with that community up until I was about 26 years old. And then when I left that community, I started to continue to explore in other traditions and other modalities. During that time, I also began doing coaching work in a corporate setting. So I would work with businesses on communication skills, leadership skills, empathy trainings, conflict resolution. And I continued to do that, all the meanwhile still teaching yoga, teaching meditation. That's something I started to do when I was about 20 years old. And when the pandemic happened, I just started to bring all of that together. I stopped doing all the corporate coaching work because I didn't feel like it was allowing the deeper conversations that I thought needed to take place that just weren't appropriate for work environments. And during 2020, during the pandemic, I wrote my first book. I started my YouTube channel and I started working with people on the more spiritual side of coaching and helping people connect with themselves. And all the meanwhile, continuing on my own healing journey and continuing on my own spiritual journey to continue to grow and evolve and become the best version of me.
Nice, Kieran. And remember, you write two books. What inspired
Yes.
to you write your books? And Journey to the Ecstatic Self, and Ray of the Flight. These are your two books, no? What is the
Yes.
inspiration? How did you start the enterprise?
Yeah, so with the first one, Journey to the Ecstatic Self, it's a self-help book and a workbook and part memoir, me talking about my own journey, coming into self-acceptance and learning to love myself and the tools I discovered along the way that were really helpful to me. That book, the first idea about maybe writing that kind of book happened to me in January of 2020. I was at a work event for the corporate work I was doing. And one of my coworkers, a really, really lovely man, came out to me. And I was the first person he ever came out to. And he was in his 60s. And I just wanted to, felt this need to want to create something for the kind of guy who would never pick up a book on coming out or queerness and wouldn't necessarily ever pick out a book on meditation or spirituality, but wanted to write a book for somebody who was on the journey of wanting to understand themselves better and live an authentic life. And so that was kind of the seed of the idea that started percolating around in my brain. And then there was just one night about a month later where I woke up in the middle of the night. It was actually a yogic holiday called Mahashivaratri, a holiday for the great yogi Shiva. And I woke up in the middle of the night with the entire book just suddenly in my head. And so I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, started writing. And within the next 3 days, I had pretty much the whole first draft of this 300-page book written. Like it went really, really fast. So I sent it off to an editor and started that whole process. And several months later, we had it out for people about 9 months later. My second book, I Dreamt a Flight. Similar idea of I wanted to connect with an audience who wouldn't necessarily want to read a spiritual book. And I wanted to tell my story as I kind of experienced coming into wholeness and learning to love myself, but through this, through metaphor, through allegory, through fantasy. And so I told my story of learning to love and accept myself through the metaphor of a teenager who is part mythical creature, he's part dragon, and is the book starts with the day after a lynching where some of the other students in his high school tried to kill him, and the repercussions that happen and how it sets him on a new course of life, running away from home, meeting people in big cities, traveling around the world, and over that course of time, developing a sense of courage and bravery and self-understanding. And so I thought stories can be a powerful tool for transformation and growth. So my second book was than that. It became a fantasy book.
Wow, Kellen. Do you think about the write the dirt book, another book in the moment, or you prepare to see, do
I would
you
like to write
see?
another book.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been working on a third book over the last 2 years. And so that's something that I would like to be able to release this year, but it's still very much a work in progress, and I'll hopefully have more information to share about it soon.
Okay, come on. Well, how do you to integrate your experience from the living in the meditative ashram into your coaching session and workshops?
I love that question. The work that I did living in an ashram and really dedicating myself to my spiritual life gave me a great depth of understanding of my own soul and my own internal life. And I'm a big believer that all of us are one. All of us, while we have different life stories, different goals, different fears, we are all made from the same consciousness. We're all made from the same soul stuff. And so, on a very, very deep level, you and I are the same. And me and my worst enemy, we are the same. And so, that soulful understanding, when I work with people one-on-one as a coach, I connect from that place that says, hey, on a deep level, we resonate. On a deep level, you and I are mirrors of each other. And so I don't necessarily need to go into the same depth of philosophy that I learned in 7 years living there, but that depth of learning that I achieved allows me to help guide that person into that place where they resonate with the oneness, where they resonate with that sense of wholeness and belonging within. And by holding that state myself, by holding my own inner light and letting it shine, it gives people a guide to mirror. It shows them, hey, there's that space within me. I can find it. I can let it shine bright. I can start to shine like he is in the same way and start to open up to that. And so I view it as a very energetic experience. It's like when you sing a certain pitch and the glasses in the room start vibrating with that same pitch, that if we are clear in our vibration, other people start to vibrate in a similar way.
Well, fantastic. And another question. Could you tell us about the importance for empathy incorporating leaderships and how do you facilitate empathy workshops for the top corporation?
Well, I think we all know that empathy is a skill that is sorely missing in today's world. People are not very patient with each other. We get very angry with each other. We get very frustrated. And we often seem to forget that the other beings around us, the other humans, the other animals, the planet itself, also has a type of awareness. They are also a type of sentient creature. And so, one of the most important things to do when you're really working, even if it is just in a business context, is always starting off by assuming the other person's point of view is the correct one. Even if it's completely wrong to you, even if it's completely antithetical to your own point of view, just start with the assumption of what if this other person is correct? And what if I were living their life, I would think no differently. And start from that place of agreement. Start from that place of, had I had their day, had I woke up in their body, had I had to live the choices that they've made throughout their life, I probably would feel similarly. Now, I might ultimately decide that after sitting with their point of view and imagining what their point of view is like, that that's not for me. I don't want to go in that direction. But if I can truly feel like I've stepped into their shoes, if I truly feel like I can have an idea of what they might be feeling, then I really realize that they're probably doing the best they can. That they are, given their circumstances, given the lives and the opportunities and the challenges they face, probably doing the best they can. And so, even on a very simple way, if I'm, when I was working in corporate settings, and let's say I'm training somebody who's dealing with customer service and they're dealing with an irate customer who clearly is wrong, Even just to diffuse the tension, to make people calm down, to just simply start by, I so imagine what you could be going through. If I were in your shoes, I'd be feeling very similarly. I hear what you're saying is you're frustrated about A, B, and C. Is that correct? To really show people, hey, I get it. We're all struggling. Everyone on this planet is struggling with something. And to say, my struggles are not easier or harder than yours. They're different. You have struggles that are immensely challenging in some ways, easier in some ways. But I'm going to have the grace and the compassion to say, this is your journey. I understand, or I can imagine how I understand. And so when we personally, in non-business settings, are driving down the street and we see people driving like crazy and cutting people off and acting like an asshole, to say, okay, they're clearly dealing with something. This isn't about me. They're not attacking me, even if it feels very deliberate. This is their own stuff. How do I relate? And you might still need to hold people accountable. You might need to say, hey, that you need to behave differently. That action isn't appropriate. But to come from this place of trying to understand them and trying to feel their suffering, feel their challenges, and realize that we are all doing the best we can.
Okay, Len. I love your words. I love how you explain. And I imagine you have a beautiful life, and you try to enjoy every moment, all day. So, Kellen, how did you balance your professional commitments, such as leading workshops and coaching sessions, with your personal life and commitments? How do you?
I think it's important that each of us remember that we are only capable of so much while staying well. Like, we can do a lot if we don't care about our physical health, our emotional health, the health of our relationships, how much we sleep. But if we say, hey, I want to live well, I want to truly demonstrate wellness in how I live and in my relationships in my life. And that means I may have to do less than I would like to do and to say no to things. I've read studies that show that humans are really only able to work efficiently for about 4 to 5 hours a day. And obviously, very few people get to work that little. Most people have to work 8, 9, 10 hour days. Plenty of people have to work more than that. But the human body isn't capable of doing it well. And so when I've had to work schedules like that, I would say to myself, okay, I get I have to do this right now, but I'm asking to create a change in my life to bring me into better balance. Please, universe, or please, God, or please, whoever you want to ask, help me find a way of living so that my work and life are in balance. So for myself, like, I know for me to stay productive, happy, healthy, I have to do less than I used to do. So for myself, I set my working hours most days to be from about 1 o'clock to about 6 o'clock. Sometimes it starts earlier, many times it will go later, but generally I try to keep everything in the afternoon period. So that way, my evenings are time for me to spend with me and my significant other, my spouse. The mornings are time for me. I can go meditate. I can go take the dogs for a walk. I can go exercise. I can make myself breakfast and lunch. And then I dedicate myself to my work time in my afternoon. And sometimes that means I don't get things done that I need to. Like last week, I didn't get my YouTube video uploaded because I just had too many other life commitments. I had a client coming in to work with me one-on-one for 2 days straight. I had my husband break his ankle and I had to take care of him and just say, you know what? I'm not going to get everything done. I could have stayed up all night and got that YouTube video edited. So I honor that commitment I had to myself of getting a YouTube video done every week, but the price I would have had to pay for my own well-being would have been too high. And so I'm very fortunate to be in a place where I get to make those choices. There's been times in my life, and I know times in many people's lives, where they don't get the choice to say, well, I'm not going to work as much. You know, I need to work this much because of a paycheck or to support my family or to do something. And I get it. I've been there. Everyone has had to have times like that. But the question is that where you want to stay? And I know a lot of people who choose that life. They start making a lot more money, but they don't work fewer hours. They just work more and keep wanting more. I see plenty of people who have the option of saying no to projects that don't necessarily amplify the amount of income they have, but it's a lot more time for them. And then they turn down time with their family. And so for me, it's what is my priority? My priority is to have meaningful relationships, meaningful friendships, meaningful relationships with my partner, to be well within myself, to get my needs met physically, emotionally, spiritually, and to feel like I'm contributing to the world. And by focusing on that, I feel very blessed that things have changed in a way that I'm able to have a schedule that works for me and I still make a good income. But it required on my part setting my priorities. And several years ago, I made a list of all the things I wanted from my professional life. And then I folded it up and put it in my meditation space. And then a couple of years later, I uncovered the note and saw that everything I had written down had come true. I didn't plan for it to happen. I didn't mentally set out ways of how am I going to make all these items become real. But by setting that intention and allowing my subconscious to work at it, over time, it came to pass. And now I have a life that I really love that's very balanced. But it took a lot of time and it took a lot of conscious choices to be able to lead me to that space.
True, Kieran, very true, inspirational. So, I'm a question personally for you. The people all days, every moment, I found they get the happiness. The question for you is, Kieran, are you happy? What did you need to get for to be happy? Are you happy? For you, what did you define the happiness?
I do have a very happy life, and that wasn't always the case. When I was younger, I had a very difficult upbringing, and a very difficult childhood, very difficult teenage years, and into my early 20s, very much so. And I'm also a little careful about specifically the word happiness because I feel like happiness changes a lot based on our external circumstances. I prefer to use the word joy because I think joy is something that is much more sustainable. Happiness for me is, oh, I got a new coat, or I won this award, or I went on this great date. But joy for me is there a contentment? Is there a sense of peace and general effervescence with life? And so even when I'm dealing with something really difficult and I'm maybe not quote unquote happy, I'm still really joyful. And so much of that has come from working on my mind. I meditate every single day. I've been doing this since I was 19, 20 years old. I literally have not missed a day in that time. I meditate every day. I take care of my physical body. I go to the gym 5, 6 days a week. I spend time out in nature every day. I have healthy, supportive relationships with my friends and with my partner. I nourish my body by cooking a lot and making sure that I'm eating the right things. I have pets. My pets bring me a lot of joy and make me feel very supported. I'm always doing things to learn and grow more. So I'm always reading. I'm always having deep conversations with people who I think are intelligent and insightful. And I'm also very connected to purpose, where I feel like I have a mission. I'm working towards that mission. For me, it's being of service and helping people grow and evolve, particularly men, particularly LGBTQ men, or maybe not lesbian men, but anybody who wants to work with me. But I work a lot with queer men, and every day working towards that, and all of those things cobbled together piece by piece have created a very happy life. And I'm very grateful that every morning I wake up pretty joyful. I wake up looking forward to the day. I wake up being thankful for my spouse sleeping next to me. I feel thankful for this body and for the home we live in and the times we live in and the city we live in, for the work I get to do. And I know that didn't used to be the case. There were plenty of days I used to wake up with dread and fear and anger and angst. And so it's been a lot of work, but over time, that is something that I have accomplished.
Okay, Kieran, thank you for for the question or the answer. Kieran, it's very important for me this is interview for you because I believe you are amazing man. A congratulations for your content and YouTube and your books and your social media. What is you important for the people take the control the for the social media? You have the two things, the content and content, spiritual, sexuality, to and happy. So in this moment, the last question is finally, what advice would you give to individuals seeking to embark on their own journey of the self-discovery and personal growth?
I love that question. Everybody has a different access point of how are they going to learn who they are and discover more about themselves and go on that self-discovery adventure. It may be for some people that they meet a person who inspires them. Another person might be inspired by a story they hear in a book or a TV show. Another person might have a life-changing event where someone they care about gets very sick, or they themselves have a major injury and it makes them reprioritize everything in life, or perhaps they lose their job. Everyone will have a different thing that sets them off. But I think the thing that everyone starts to have in common after that initial impulse is an element of self-inquiry. Starting to ask the question, who am I really? When I let go of the clothes I wear, or the degrees I've earned, or the jobs I've held, or the money I make, or the people I know, who am I? And to really start asking that question. And then once you start asking that question, giving space for it to answer. And so for a lot of people, that ends up being mindfulness or meditation, turning your focus in to self-study. For some people, it's going and reconnecting with nature and going on long hikes and spending a lot of time outside alone in the woods. For some people, that's reconnecting with their body, getting involved in ecstatic dance or a yoga practice, or taking up swimming and spending that time in reflection. But all of these things I've just mentioned, making art is another one. But all these things I just mentioned involve a time of quiet and often a time of aloneness, a time of being with yourself. Because when we're surrounded by other people and we're surrounded by technology and we're surrounded by things that want to grab our attention all day, every day, it's very hard to know how do we feel inside. But by giving ourselves the space and time to start listening to ourselves, asking questions of ourselves, noticing how our body responds to different ideas, different stimuli, we come to know ourselves better. So while our moments of catalyst or moments that inspire us to go on this journey of self-discovery are as varied as there are clouds in the sky and different weather conditions around the world, eventually it leads us to a place of internal self-inquiry. Often in moments of quiet, often in moments of isolation, so that we can really tune within.
Thank you, Kevin, and wonderful words. And really, thank you for accepting the petition. My public is international. The public is most Spanish and second English. So, I have a question. Do you nothing speak Spanish?
I wish I did. I went to a high school that was 60% Latino, and my mother insisted that I studied French instead, which is totally not useful. I have never needed to speak French. There's very few native French speakers in the places I've lived, so I wish that I had learned Spanish. And I have my spouse is Latino. He doesn't even speak Spanish, unfortunately. His parents, his grandparents, his siblings all speak Spanish. He never learned it. So maybe it's something that we'll have to pick up soon because it would be wonderful to be able to have that skill.
Okay, can I not worry? In this moment, what do you if they find the people in social media, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok. You have TikTok?
I do.
Okay. How do you found the people? Because I don't know, you know about you more. I don't know. How did you stay in social media?
So my brand, my company's name is Ecstatic Self. So my YouTube channel, which is where most people find me, is Ecstatic Self. I'm also Ecstatic Self on Twitter, and I believe I'm in TikTok. It's also at Ecstatic Self. On Instagram, that handle isn't available, so it's Kaylin Ecstatic Self. But yeah, if you just search for Ecstatic Self, you'll find me.
Okay, Kevin, thank you very much for your time, for accepting the moment. I'm from to the Mexico. Do you visit Mexico anytime?
Well, I've been to Mexico several dozen times. My parents used to spend each winter in Puerto Vallarta, so I've been there probably 20, 30, at least 20 times, probably 25 times. I've been to Cabo San Lucas 3 or 4 times. I've been to Cozumel, Cancun. My husband and I actually got married in Mexico. We got married in Riviera Maya. So I'm sure I will be back soon. It's one of my favorite places to visit.
Okay, you okay? Okay, Kaylin. So in this moment, to finish the podcast, thank you very much for the time. The people I invited to read the books, and I found the Amazon books online. Do you stay the version physical the books?
Do I do what with the books?
The books is on it's only online or physical?
Oh, no, yes, you can order physical books as well. Yes.
Okay, Kellen. Well, thank you. So in the section censored, I don't know, you have the Twitter, the OnlyFans, the people you found in this social medias, because I don't know, I don't know, I want you, like, can say, I don't know who you more. So it's time. Okay, Kellen, in this moment, I love that you say goodbye with the formal gents, and to finish the podcast, please.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you so much for this time. It is such a sincere joy to get to converse and share these ideas and have this conversation with you. So I'm just immensely grateful for this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Kellen. You're amazing, wonderful man. I send a big hug. I wait to, I don't know, I wait to New Mexico one day on the Puerto Vallarta, Cancun, Cozumel. I don't know,
Yeah,
but nice to meet
I've
you.
actually, it's a pleasure.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. All today is take your land, please, people. You have to read the books. I don't know. This is a man, the topic is very interesting in YouTube. Please enter you visit the Seed Web YouTube channel. Okay, people, see you later. And thank you very much, Kylan, from this USA. Bye.
Thank you.
Th thank you, Kylan. I
Thank you.
really sorry for my English, it's very good. But
It's
I try.
perfect. Your English is excellent.
I try, I
Thank
try.
you.
So, bueno. I say goodbye. You write when I have to edit the podcast for the publish. Because this week I have three podcasts, the people they have books. In this moment, you include in the version English. I need to, the version international, just the interview international. And please, thank you. See goodbye. You have the night, evening, night. What did you time the?
It's
This
yes, evening. It's so yeah.
okay.
Thank you so much for this. Bye
Thank
bye.
you. Bye.